Muffy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to a Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We're a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, the Catholic Church, and different cultures. My visitor today is Baptist Lobo. Baptist, a warm welcome and hi to your radio program.
Thank you, Bertha. It's very good. Thank you.
Baptist Lobo is from Mangalore in India and migrated to New Zealand in 2001. He's a chartered accountant and has established his own accounting business. In his free time, Baptist has set up a radio program here on Planet FM, which is presented in the Konkani language. Baptist, you are an accountant and you've started a radio program with other accountants. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. We are chartered accountants, all from India, and two of us are from Mangalore and one is from Goa. And this Konkani language is a part of that Konkan region, which starts from bottom of Maharashtra to Kerala.
So you call yourself good guys, right?
Yes, we are good guys.
So that's quite amazing to have three accountants, and you call them yourselves good guys and have a radio program.
Absolutely.
So how did that come about?
It all came about when we were thinking of doing something for the community, and we decided to bring a movie here, which was a Konkani movie, and it was not released commercially, that movie. It was released only to pockets or certain audiences all over the world. And since they did not want to release commercially because it cost money to release commercially, so we approached them and we got that movie here. We got a tremendous response from the local community, the Konkani community. And that gave us an idea that so much is available there, so much is wanted there in the community, that people want to revive the Konkani language. And that came about. And as you know, probably the Konkani language is one of the endangered languages by UN.
And just to make sure that people know where it is, so Konkani is spoken in Goa and Mangalore, is that right?
No, Konkani is spoken in the Konkan region, which is right starts from bottom of Maharashtra, flows from there all through to Kerala, which is it's a coastal region, and it's surrounded by the sea on one side, Arabian Sea, and the other side is surrounded by hills, which is called Sahyadri Hills. And that whole region, it speaks Konkani. But each region, each state has a different dialect. So Konkani is spoken, but it's some of the words of the states are used in that language. So sometimes even two Konkani-speaking people cannot understand each other.
So it's the whole east coast of India, from Goa down. The west coast, of course, whole west coast.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know a lot about India. The coast of India,
yes,
Kerala,
yes,
and things like that. Yeah, that's great. Absolutely, yeah.
And so you say Konkani is spoken by many people. So how is it, millions, or how many people to speak Konkani?
I don't have a count, but I would say a million would be... Not million. Million could be the answer, but there are Konkani speaking who are also of various religion.
Yeah.
Some Muslims, Catholics, or Hindus, but they speak Konkani.
So it's the language that combines, that connects all of them?
All of them, yes.
No matter what religion, what faith?
No, it doesn't matter.
So it's not like, I think Hindu is a language that is connected to the Hindu religion?
No, it's the Hindi, but yeah. Hindi is spoken all over India.
That's it.
But that region, it's Konkani.
So do you speak then three languages, English, Hindi and Konkani?
English, Hindi, Konkani, Marathi, Gujarati.
And they're all different.
All different languages. It all depends from where you come and what language. Like in Bombay, it's a melting pot. We lived in Bombay, basically. When I was born, within 6 months, my mom came to Bombay. And Bombay is a melting pot of all languages, all cultures, all religion, everything. So there's no distinction there. But we kept on our language because mom and dad spoke Konkani, and therefore it was continued. But people coming here have lost that touch, and not passing them on to the children. So our main focus is to get those youngsters into the program and speak that language and keep that language alive, culture alive.
How many Konkani speakers do you think that there are in New Zealand?
Yeah, I would say around 3,500-4,000 people.
Oh, that's quite a number.
Quite a number, yeah.
Yeah. And you come from Mangalore, but I think in Goa you speak Konkani, and there are lots of Catholics in that area.
Absolutely.
So you're there right. Are many Catholic Indians who have like a Portuguese name would
yes.
be more likely to speak Konkani? Is that something that...
Yeah, it is associated with that. Absolutely, you're right. Like my surname is Lobo, which is a Portuguese wolf. In Spanish means wolf. But it's again attached to a Portuguese ancestor. Similarly, one of other good guys, his name is Richard Miranda, which is again Portuguese. And Hector de Souza, which is again Portuguese. So all of our surnames have been originated from the Portuguese.
And they brought also the Catholic faith, or did they come with St. Thomas the Apostle?
That was on the south, actually. Mm-hmm. Kerala. Was brought in by St. Thomas. But St. Francis Xavier, if you mm-hmm. remember, probably brought in the faith to Goa, and it got spread. Basically, Mangaloreans, if you go back in history, we were originally from Goa. Because of the Portuguese aggression, some Goans fled to down south. And some of them reached Mangalore, some of them reached Kerala. So therefore, you have that whole region, and some of them went off to Maharashtra. Mm. So they got dispersed, and therefore, I think the whole region now speaks Konkani.
And you mentioned Francis Xavier. Wasn't he buried in
He was region? Buried, yes. His body is still there. And every 10 years, they open out for the veneration.
So yeah, that would be a special
It's a miracle,
year.
Basically. Yeah, he is still there.
I think that I have to ask somebody to come for an interview when this happens again, so that we hear more about this special event 10 years,
yes,
every 10 years.
Yes, yes.
That's quite amazing.
It is.
And, just for those who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/Muffin Talk or visit our website or Facebook page at Te Ngaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Baptist Lobo, and Baptist has, together with two other Indians, a program here, a radio program. The program is called Susigat Danpar. What does that mean?
Susigat Danpar means a relaxing afternoon. And our program is on Saturday, 3:45 to 4:45 on 104.6 Planet FM. And what we do in the program is play a lot of, half of the program is playing music, Goan, Konkani, relaxing, beautiful summer afternoon or winter afternoon. It's an afternoon, people are having a nice, relaxing afternoon, and they listen to the music. As well as we, as you welcome guests to your program, we also have guests. We talk about health, we talk about mental health, physical health, we talk about eyes, we talk about a lot of things, sports and music.
Especially for the Konkani people.
Especially for the Konkani people, and so especially from our community, we get people from outside when there is nobody specialized in that topic.
Yeah. So when you do these programs and you say you have a lot of music, so a youngster who knows a little bit of Konkani but might not be able to follow an interview can still listen to the music.
Yes,
and
music
get used
has no
to
language.
The sound.
Music has no words? No words are there, but music has no language. It's music. Anybody can listen to it. Anybody can enjoy the music. So that's what I mean. Yeah. They may not understand the meaning of the words, but the music is absolutely soul-filling, you can say, that kind of music.
Now, I was more thinking when I learned English, I listened to English music, and it helped me a lot to learn English. So I thought when you play music from in your language, somebody who knows a little bit will try to catch a word here and catch a word there and will be more connected.
Yes, I think so. That's a good idea, because I never thought on those lines, but definitely that there is a thread to that thinking.
Yeah. Do you also get feedback from young people?
We do. We do get youngsters also on the program, and we get feedback from youngsters saying that, okay, why don't you play some English music? But then we say, because this is a Konkani program, we cannot play English music. We want you guys to understand the music, understand the language, and then get, once you know the language, you will appreciate the music or the words more effectively than what you're doing right now.
And they can listen to English music on the other programs.
Other programs, absolutely.
So even though I don't speak the language, I can still listen to the program.
You can. You can. You will
and I won't feel
like
bored.
The music. You will not feel bored. We'll keep you entertained.
So you say you have all kind of topics. Anything that might be of concern for Konkani people?
Yes, health is one of them, because mm-hmm. we have health specialists who come and tell what they need to do in terms of exercise, in terms of eating habits, how to change. Probably most of the Indians have a very bad eating habit. We eat a lot of carbohydrates, and that's what we are trying to inculcate in our community, so that we get rid of the diseases which come along with eating carbohydrates. So we have those kind of programs. We have knowledgeable programs where people, specialists come. Like, we have also some programs about the economy, about the housing prices. We had the politicians come when there was elections, all three politicians from three parties, four parties actually, Green, the National, the Labour, and...
So the biggest parties, yeah.
They came in. So we had them interviewed, we found out what their agenda was, how they can help our community and all the other smaller communities in the region or in Auckland.
You might even invite a cook and give some recipes.
Because
I have a friend who is Konkani speaker, and she cooks very well.
No, we would like to have her name so that we can go to her house to eat.
Anyway, it's I think that when you say there might be a change of habits in what you eat, and I think that it would be interesting to have some people
talking about
what is a Konkani recipe and what can you cook here, because I think that it's quite different to Goa or other regions in India, because you don't get the same ingredients so easily.
Absolutely, because here we make do with things which are available tinned or otherwise not fresh enough, so we make do with that. And I'm not a cook, I'm a good eater. So
you're a good eater.
I don't know any specific recipes or...
Well, that's the worst thing for a cook, if there is somebody who doesn't eat.
Exactly, that's the worst thing. And you need somebody to eat. Everybody cooking doesn't make sense.
And everybody eating doesn't make sense.
No, we can buy and eat anyway. There are people out there who can cook. But yeah, as my wife is a good cook, so... When one of the spouses is a good cook, the other is too lazy to learn cooking.
So the other one has to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you have to invite your wife to the radio program.
Maybe for the for the recipes.
And in your presentation or in the introduction on the website, I think that you said spreading the flavor of diverse Konkani culture, traditions, music and language among its diaspora settled in Auckland. What kind of traditions do you talk about?
The traditions are like... doing certain things in a particular manner. So, for example, we Goans or Mangalorians love to dance. So, our dancing is a tradition, a different folk dance. So, that's one of the traditions. We want that to go on. We don't want that big metallic noise and things like that dancing. Our music is very soft, very pleasing to the ear.
Is it general or is it in your radio program?
No, it's
tradition
general.
Is general.
Generally, we are not loud people. Mm-hmm. Probably from my voice, I am louder than all the others. But yes, generally, we are not loud people. And that music is replicating what we are.
How can you imagine the dance? Is that a dance that is similar to the dances that we non-Indians might know from television or from presentations at interfaith events? Or is it very different? Because I think that what you always see is Indians dancing in their Hindi tradition. And yeah. Is it similar or is it completely different?
It's completely different. What you see in Bollywood is completely different to what the folk dance is. In Bollywood, it's more of high-impact exercise. Well, you can also see when I take my classes, I do that Bollyworks.
You do a Bollywood?
Yes, on Saturdays, 9 to 10. And that is very high impact. But folk dance is very soft, steps, soft hands movement, soft eye movements and things like that. So you have that one side, that is the culture and tradition, but Bollywood is absolutely, completely, diagonally opposite to what our folk dance is.
Yeah. And what other traditions do you talk about?
The food, the food, the timing of eating, the various festivals we have, like the Easter, the Christmas. Some people, when we came here, the Kiwis did not know that there were Catholics in India.
And
really? Yeah, they are Hindus. They are they're vegetarians. They don't celebrate Christmas and those kind of things. But when we told them that there are 2% of the population is Catholic, which is equivalent to 2 million people.
Lots of Indian priests.
Yeah, 2 million people, which is the population of more population than Auckland.
Yes,
in India, and we celebrate Christmas. We have Easter. We have Easter eggs. We sing carols. We have all those things.
How do you celebrate Christmas? Or now we are in Advent.
Yeah.
Can you say something that is different to what we celebrate here in New Zealand normally?
We make a lot of sweets. People don't. We make a different type of Indian sweets, which is we call that Karanja, or that's a different kind of sweet, so I cannot explain that. But like chaklis and karakadis, and these are the kind of
produce them during the time of Advent,
just 4 or 5 days before Christmas.
Mm.
And in India, we have a culture where we go to each and everybody's house. Like if you have a society, so we will. 5 or 6 people, families meet together and make the sweets in one house, and then those 6 people move to another house, they make there, and continuously you do that. So it's a team, it's a community bonding exercise as well as making sweets. Everybody loves it.
Yes, it reminds me of Germany, of the tradition of making pastry, little cookies or biscuits and all kind of different things in shapes of trees and stars and angels.
Yeah.
And we start in the first of Advent.
Yeah.
And then the whole of the 4 weeks we produce these bakeries. And,
okay.
And we do that every, most women, they, or most families, they have then a variety. I usually used to have like 6 or 7 different types.
Okay.
And then you would always decorate a beautiful plate for the Sundays. So, and then you'd invite your friends and come for a cuppa and you'd try the recipes of these people. So,
which is very good. Yeah, similar. Yeah, that's what we do. And then on the Christmas day itself, we exchange those sweets which are made. We take a plate and distribute it to all the society people, not only Catholics, but Hindus and Muslims, because when their festive is there, they give us sweets.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And we don't make sweets on their festive day, but they give us the sweets.
Yeah.
And they don't make the sweets on Christmas time, so we give them the service. So it is a continuous festive season all throughout the year.
So the Konkani people like festivals.
Yes, we love festivals.
So it goes beyond any religion, beyond beliefs. You have the different, each religious group contributes at a certain time of the year.
Yes, and therefore that's what I'm saying. It's always joyful every time of the year.
So where did you live?
Well, that's a big long story. I can have another program on that one.
Okay. But you feel happy here in Auckland?
Yes, I have felt. I'm feeling happy here. So it's different.
And you go to home every now and then?
Yes, I make a point to be there every 2 years.
Yes, and then you report back on the radio program.
Yes,
what you've seen, what has changed.
Yes.
Are you in touch with the radio program at home, or something that gives you also some news from home?
We do have a number of programs in Goa, which we try to link with and get some content from them. But the content which we get from India is not akin to what's happening here. So we try and mix and match and have our own program based on some of the music which they play and things like that. We've got radio programs all over. There's a big radio program in Canada, which is called Radio Mango, which is a combination of two words.
Mangalore.
Mangalorians, M-A-N, and Goa is Goan, so Mango. Yeah.
My God. Sounds sweet.
Yeah.
And just back quickly to the language, you said that there's quite a few people speaking Konkani, but it's not enough. Is it an official language in India?
It has been recorded as an official language. Now, we just got the recognition sometime in late 90s.
And is it also a written language or is it only an oral language?
It's an oral language. There's no written, but each and every state has got their own script. And therefore, say, for example, Maharashtra, it is written in Marathi language, Marathi script, or Devanagari script, as you call it. In Goa, it is written in English or Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to south, like Mangalore, then the script of the state is Kannada. So it's written in Kannada, whereas in Kerala, it's written in Malayalam. So, yeah. So the words of the state has crept in. Therefore, the dialect changes as you go along the coast.
Yeah, but there are many people who only speak Konkani.
Yes, there are people who only speak Konkani.
Who don't speak any other languages.
No.
So when is your program, just in case somebody from your language group listens to this program?
It is every Saturday, 3:45 to 4:45, 1 hour program.
So that's the quiet.
That is a Susha Gardhan Park, yeah. Relaxing afternoon.
I also read a quote from your friend Richard who said, "In the long run, we'd like to get a team of youngsters to keep the program going, remain connected to their heritage, and an opportunity to express and develop their talents." So you are preparing the foundation for this to continue for many generations. Is that right?
Yes, that's the objective. And when we established this radio program, we were having a number of things going on, events going on for the Konkani-speaking people or the Catholics around here. But none of the programs involved the youth. And none of the programs, I would imagine, would continue after we have left. The radio program was a medium for us to address that issue. And we picked that up and we said, okay, here's an opportunity for us to lay that foundation, to have an indelible ink or mark left on to the future generations where they can continue what we have started. And who knows, it will have a snowball effect and more people will start coming in and doing those Konkani programs. So we wanted a base, as you rightly said, we wanted a base where they could come in and just start off because we have established the base.
But also when you imagine that somebody grows up in New Zealand or even in a different part of India where they don't speak Konkani, then this person might lose the connection. And when the person goes back to India and back to their roots, they wouldn't even be able to talk to people who don't speak any other language but Konkani.
You know, you're talking about the youth now.
Yes. If they don't know it as a young people, it's not very likely to learn it then later.
Yes, so therefore the Konkani part came in. Whenever they went back to Goa or Mangalore, they were not able to converse. Mm. And some people, of course, in India, everybody speaks a little bit of English, maybe broken English, but they understand when people ask them things. But if you go to the villages, there you can't converse. So one has to know Konkani to get your way around. And that was the whole objective, was to get those people, get the youngsters, youth connected and keep them connected to the country, to the state, to the Konkan region and the culture, tradition and whatnot.
Yes. Into their roots.
Yeah, their roots, basically.
I think that's
why. Sometimes Richard puts it, you know, people have moved away from India, gone to UK, US and all over the world. And suddenly after living there for 40, 50 years, understand where am I belonging to? What are my roots? And that's when you understand that, okay, if I had continued in my Konkani, I knew that my roots were Konkani. Like for you, it would be Germany and your roots are there. So that you need to blend with what is happening, but at the same time, keep your roots alive. That's what I feel.
Yes. And do you also have certain celebrations when you come to the Catholic traditions where you say, we look for a priest who speaks Konkani? There's one priest who speaks Konkani, isn't it?
You know, we have got quite a few here now, three or four priests to Sri Konkani, and we get them onto our masses. If we have a celebration, like on 3rd of December, we had St. Xavier's Feast, which is the feast day for St. Xavier's. And we had a big celebration on that day. And that's a tradition which I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it is lost. Who knows 3rd December?
Well,
five years down the line, 10 years down the line, nobody will know what 3rd December is.
But well, I know from Germany because we celebrate that feast also.
Exactly.
Maybe not as big as you do.
Yeah, but then he's a patron saint of Goa. So therefore we celebrate in a real big manner, or you can say quite loudly or whatever you want to call it. But we celebrate it as a patron saint. So therefore everybody is involved. Everybody wants to be involved in that event or gathering.
Where did you have it? In a church?
We had it. The mass was, and the program was held in Mount Albert War Memorial Hall, which is next to KFC. Yeah? So, that's
right, a big one. Well, that's great. So you keep your...
Mount Eden it is called, I think.
Mount Eden?
Mount Eden War Memorial. Opposite the...
That's great. So you have that once a year. That's the biggest celebration.
That's one of the celebrations. We have all dances all the time. We have in Christmas, we have Easter dances, we have a May ball, and every now and then we have the small dances every time. Then we have the church festivals. So all those things happen.
That's great.
We also have one great festival of Our Lady of the Mount, which is in September, 8th September onwards. So there's 1 week long week novenas, and on the birthday of the lady we have a big celebration.
Great. I'm glad that you keep the traditions alive.
Yes.
And I'm happy that you have a few priests who can support you with keeping the Catholic side also alive, the Catholic traditions.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. That also is a part of the tradition, part of the culture, part of the...
Thank you very much for coming to the studio, Baptist.
Thank you very much, Bertha, right?
Yeah, Beata.
Beata. My pronunciation is bad, sorry.
just to the listeners regarding our Mercy Spirituality Center, well, I hope that everybody has received the program booklets for 2018. In case you haven't, please let us know and send us an email or stop by and pick one up. And the theme of 2018 will be connectedness. So we've just heard about the connectedness within the community, the Konkani-speaking community. And we're also looking forward to connecting people, cultures, and beliefs. And just to give you a glimpse of what's going to happen next year, we have scheduled the German singers Trio Adue to come on Saturday the 24th of February to facilitate a workshop on singing is like the air you breathe, a connectedness for body, soul and mind. This event will take place at St. Mary's Historic Chapel in Ponsonby. On the 27th of February, from 7 to 9 p.m., Arangi Davis will come and give a presentation on reconnecting broken connections using one Te Ao Māori approach of Whakawhanaungatanga and Hohorongo. This might sound a bit complicated if you don't speak Māori, but the presentation will be in English and we will find beautiful sense of connectedness on that evening. And even though we've just entered the Advent season, I would like to draw your attention to our Lent talks with Father Stuart Seller. He will give another talk. In 2017, he gave a series on 4 Lenten talks, and in 2018, he will give an enhanced presentation of the same topic with one more session. This time, all sessions will take place in the evening. And for all our events at the center, please register with us per phone at 09-638-6238 or via our website at mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And I thank very much Baptist Dobo for having come here to the studio. And I wish everybody a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Bert. Thank you very much to have me on the radio.